Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come visit us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. We'd be pleased to have you join us in any of those meetings, and we just look forward to seeing what God is going to continue to do in our hearts and our lives. And we all want to be better folks. We want to be better husbands and better wives and better sons and daughters. And, you know, all that is possible, but first and foremost, we should all hope to be better Christians. Maybe you're not a Christian and you have no idea what I'm speaking of. Well, first and foremost, you need a relationship with Christ. You need a relationship with the Lord of everything, the Creator of it all, and then you'll begin to understand. You'll begin to have your mind open and be able to comprehend a lot of these things that are going on. Now, I'd like to take just a moment before we continue to look at Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, just verses 13 and 14 this morning. It'll be as far as we get. But great, great teaching and great, great truth involved in those verses. I want to wish happy birthday to a couple of folks, if I might. Coming up, definitely want to remember Miss Carol King. Miss Carol is such an important part of what we're able to do here at Rallets, and I just want to wish her a happy birthday on Friday the 3rd and let her know I love her and that I pray for her every day. And then also, couple of men, just great guys that I love being able to worship with time after time. Mr. Ben Meredith and Mr. Lauren Sturgeon are celebrating a birthday together on Sunday the 5th, and so we appreciate those men so much. Now, next Wednesday, Jerry Meredith will be celebrating a birthday next Wednesday the 8th, so we just thank God for all those folks, and I'm very pleased to be able to say that we are all members of the same congregation. I'm pleased to say I've got many, many friends that are brothers and sisters in Christ that don't attend here at Rallets, and yet I know we're part of the same church. The church is much more than four walls and a couple of doors and windows. The church is the body of believers, people who have been set apart, sanctified, called by God. That's a church. So if you're a believer, if you've been saved, if you've been born again, you're a member of the church of Jesus Christ, and I love that. Love that. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Which way to heaven? Which way to heaven? Verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, here is the appeal to which Jesus has been moving through the whole sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. You know, that's what we've been looking at. We've been taking a look at chapter 7 of Matthew, and as we get closer now, as Jesus begins to wrap up His sermon, I want you to notice something very particular about the way that Jesus is preaching. Now, many times today, and I've done it myself, we'll try to find a illustration or a part of our lives, something that we can use to make what's happened, make what's been said in the sermon, to make that very practical, to make that applicable to your life, that it might be something that could edify you. And when you leave the church that Sunday afternoon, that you can say, boy, that really hit home with me, and I'm able to discern more about what's happening. Now, Jesus now is not necessarily beginning to wind it down, but He's beginning to come to the point where it's time for a decision to be made based on the facts, based on the things that He has stated. Now the people are being put to a compromise here. What position will you take? What direction will you go based upon these things that have been said? He gives the call to decide now about becoming a citizen of God's kingdom and inheriting eternal life, or remaining a citizen of this fallen world and receiving damnation. The way to life is on God's terms alone, friend. It's on God's terms alone. You and I can never, I know this is repeated and repeated and repeated, and I wonder sometimes why is it that preachers say this so often? Because it still hasn't sank in. We cannot be saved by our good works. Now, that's more than just a blanket statement. You cannot be saved because you attend church. You cannot be saved because you go to Sunday school. You cannot be saved by doing good deeds for your neighbor, by helping out your grandma, by buying groceries for the orphanage. None of that is going to account to anything, because God's wrath rests upon those who do not have holiness and complete righteousness. Now, you are not able to attain holiness or complete righteousness. So you've got a great problem. There's a great dilemma. Of course, we want to be in heaven. We don't want to face damnation. We don't want to face hell. We don't want to face an eternity separated from God. And yet we have this problem of sin. Well, I want you to know that God has also created a great solution for the problem of sin. God being just means that God is holy. It means that God must satisfy every demand that He placed on individuals before they can come into His presence. Justice and mercy met at the cross of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, it completed everything that God required for a person to be just. And through the mercy that God displayed by accepting Christ in faith and following Him in an obedient and repentant lifestyle, you and I can have the righteousness of Christ that completely fulfills God's demands imputed upon us, that we might be able to stand before God not in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other way, any other road is a big wide road that leads to destruction. Any other attempt to come near to God will fall short. There'll be no other way. It's only through Christ alone. He is the sole bridge between God and man. And no one will ever cross over. No one will ever go beyond what Christ has already done and accomplished. So when you attempt to do good works in order to gain some ground with God, you're doing nothing more than insulting God. And you're throwing it back in His face, and you're proclaiming with a loud voice, I'm going to work my own way in, and I refute what you have done. I count the cross as nothing. I can earn it on my own. And God, I don't need your help. That's what we're saying when we attempt to try to strive to do good works in order to enter into salvation. It's just it. And so Jesus has been giving God's standards throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Standards that are holy and perfect, that are diametrically opposed to self-righteous. It's opposed to self-sufficiency. And also, it's opposed to the hypocritical standards of man. Those standards were typified by the scribes and the Pharisees. He has shown what His kingdom is like and what its people are like and what they are not like. Now he presents the choice. The choice of entering the kingdom or not. Here Jesus focuses on the decision that every person must make. The crossroads where he must decide on the gate he will enter and the way he will go. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many, many who go in by it. Because narrow, small, narrow is the gate, and difficult, difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Our lives are filled with decisions. What to wear, what to eat, where to go, what to do, what to say, what to buy, whom to marry, what career to follow, and on and on and on and on. Many of those decisions are trivial and insignificant, and some are essential. Some are essential and life-changing. The most critical of all is our decision about Jesus Christ and His kingdom. That is the ultimate choice that determines our eternal destiny. And it's that decision that Jesus here calls men to make. I like what John MacArthur said. John MacArthur put it like this. In perfect harmony with His absolute sovereignty, God has always allowed men to choose Him or not, and He has always pleaded with them to decide for Him or face the consequences of a choice against Him. So since mankind turned their backs on Him in the fall, God has bent every effort and spared no cost in wooing His creatures back to Himself. He has provided and shown the way, leaving nothing to man but the choice. God made His choice by providing the way of redemption. The choice is now man's. And so let me ask you, will you extend your heart toward a mighty, loving Savior that you have been told your whole life? You've heard preaching. If you live in this area, every time you drive by a church, you know what that church stands for. You know what those people go there for. It's because they believe in Christ. They believe in a Savior. They believe that their sins are something that prevents them from coming near a holy God. And they know that they cannot make it on their own. We cannot make it on their own. I was just torn in my spirit as I drove to church this past Sunday morning. And I made my way down Lone Oak Highway. And I looked to my right, and there were people out washing their vehicles. I looked to my left, and there were men out weeding in a fence row. I went on down the road there and come nearer to Mumfordville, and there was a man just sitting on his porch, and he was enjoying the morning. Legs crossed, cup of coffee in his hand, cigarette in his hand, and he was just sitting there, and it seemed to me as if he was just kind of enjoying the morning. And it just washed all over me. And I knew it was in my spirit or I would have stopped. If I thought it had been the Holy Spirit leading me, I would have stopped. And what my flesh wanted to do was to go and stop the vehicle in the middle of the road, get out, go over and grab the man by the shoulders and say, "Sir, do you not realize that if you're sitting here enjoying this beautiful morning and you're doing nothing wrong, you're simply taking in this great day that was created for you by a holy God by sitting here and doing nothing about Jesus, that the wrath of God is residing upon your soul, and that one day God will hold you to an account for what you did with Jesus Christ? Have you bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus and proclaimed with all of your heart that Jesus is Lord? Or will you just simply sit here and allow your life to go by day after day after day and never acknowledge what Jesus has done for you? Will you never proclaim with your heart now that Jesus says, Lord, because the day is coming when the wrath of God will reside upon all those who have not bent their knee and said with a loud voice, 'Jesus is Lord, and I believe in Him.'" The wrath of God is a settled, determined response to sin. God will not allow sin to enter into His kingdom. It simply will not be allowed. You see, dear friend, your sin will find you out. Yes, I know we reap what we sow here in the temporal. Here in this earth, we're going to reap what we sow. If I perform a bad deed in my Christian walk, God will allow the consequences of whatever happens in this world to happen. If I get put on death row, I'm going to be put to death. Now, I'm not going to get into the debate about what some of you believe, that a man goes out and sins and then he's lost. I don't believe that. Here's the thing. God has said that He will not allow sin to enter in. And I don't think you take that seriously. I don't think you realize that you cannot come near to God without making Jesus the complete Lord of your life. You cannot make Him Savior and not make Him Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Don't tell me, as you run around in your sin, as you revel in it, as you roll around in it, as you just take glory in your sinful lifestyle, and then try to tell me that you're saved and you're going to heaven, that's just not true. And you're not only trying to fool me, you're fooling yourself, and Satan has got you tricked, and he'd much rather send you to hell from the pew than he would from the bar. Satan takes more glory in that. If he can get you to attend Sunday school your whole life and go to church and go to Wednesday night prayer meeting and do all those things, and then on Friday night and throughout the rest of the week you just live like the world. You love the world. You embrace everything about it. You desire to have more of it. At church bores you. You have no love for God's Word. You have no love for God's people. You have no love for God's music. Do not fool yourself into thinking that you've ever been born again. You're trying to tell me that the Holy Spirit of God resides in you and you don't like church, you don't like God's people, you don't like God's music. I'm telling you something, the Holy Spirit loves God's Word. The Holy Spirit loves God's people. The Holy Spirit desires to come to worship. And if you have the Holy Spirit residing in you, you will desire those things. And if you feel nothing, if you have no desire, you've not been born again. Friend, listen to me. It's urgent that you get this matter nailed down. It's urgent that you make sure that you know. Stop fooling yourself. Now is the day. Today is the time. When Israel was in the wilderness, the Lord instructed Moses to tell the people, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. That's Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. It holds true today. It still holds true today. These words uttered by the Lord instructing Moses, they've not lost any of their gleam. They're still as bright and beautiful and shining and true as they were the very day they were uttered. After Israel came into the promised land, Joshua confronted the people again with a choice. You can either continue to serve the Egyptian and Canaanite gods, or turn to the Lord who has delivered you from Egypt and given you the land promised to Abraham. And he says in Joshua 24, verse 13 and 15, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. On Mount Carmel, the prophet Elijah asked the people of Israel, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. That's 1 Kings 18. The Lord commanded Jeremiah to set the choice again. In Jeremiah 21, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. This Sunday at Rallets, we spoke a little bit out of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 66 and through 69, Jesus Himself called for a choice. He made a hard sermon. He gave a hard sermon with a lot of hard teaching, and it caused a lot of the people really to second guess why they were following Jesus. Many of them had been following up until this time because He was feeding them, because He was working miracles, and they wanted to go along with the show. They wanted to get a handout of a meal. They wanted to be fed for nothing. They wanted money for nothing. And so here we go, and there's a great crowd, but Jesus came with this magnificent sermon in John chapter 6 and verse 66 says, as a result of this, many of His disciples withdrew and were not walking with Him anymore. Jesus said therefore to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Oh, Simon Peter. Praise God for the life of Simon Peter. He answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. That's the call that God's been making to men since they turned away from Him. It's the supreme appeal of His Word. God's calling all of us to make choices, some hard, some easy. I would like to quote what John MacArthur quoted, a British poet. John Oxon wrote this poem called The Ways. I just want to share this with you as we close today. To every man there openeth a way and ways and a way. And the high soul climbs the high way and the low soul gropes the low. And in between, on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth the way his soul shall go. Will you pray with me? Father God, we just come before You right now, and we thank You, dear Lord, that through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, we can choose life. Through the drawing and the moving of the Spirit of God upon our lives, that it gives us the capability to be able to say that Jesus is Lord. I want to thank You, dear God, that You're entering into the hearts of unrepentant men and women right now, and You're causing us to examine what our decision that we've made for You, whether that be a decision that was made only a skin deep, or whether it went to the very bone and marrow and the very depths of our souls, that we might be able to say we take Christ for everything that He is, all that He's offered, all these things that He's given, and He makes us say that He is completely and absolutely the Lord of our lives. And so, Father, we simply call upon Your holy name. We thank You, dear Father. Our petition is that Your name might be more exalted and more holy, and that, Father, we delight ourselves in You, that we might find comfort and joy and hope and peace beyond all understanding. Thank You today, dear God, that You're so kind and compassionate, and that Your mercies are new every morning. Father, we thank You for all these things in Christ's mighty name. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.